Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Our eyes on the U.S. Supreme Court, highest court in the land, because it does appear this big battle brewing in one state now heading to the nation's highest court. This is the fight over Virginia's purging or attempt to purge voter rolls and now headed to SCOTUS. Remember I told you, and this was maybe a month ago, that the Supreme Court had left a whole lot of room on their docket because they knew this kind of thing would be coming to them. So they left room for it. They left the space. They planned ahead, which was smart. But this is a federal appeals court ruling yesterday against the effort that Governor Glenn Youngkin's administration says is an effort to stop, you know, non-citizens from voting. And they're wording this so carefully. But here's the bottom line. Youngkin signed that executive order, just to refresh your memory, back in August, that canceled the registration of 1,600 people so far. In many cases, they say registrations were canceled because, here's the thing, you know why they canceled the registrations? Because they checked the box at the DMV designating them as a non-citizen. Okay, so they went to DMV to get their driver's license or their state ID, and it says, are you a citizen of the United States of America? Yes or no? And they checked the box because they were being honest that they are a non-citizen. And so that means that these individuals are self-reporting as not being a citizen. I don't know how this blows my mind that, and you see the way that the so-called mainstream media is reporting this, saying, well, just because it could be that those 1,600 people, what if they checked the wrong box? They checked the box. And usually at DMV, if something seems out of whack, they'll even say to you if you're there, hey, you know, you checked blah, blah, blah. Do you know that? So there's often a conversation with somebody at DMV. Do you know what I'm saying? That you have a conversation and they usually say, for example, that you need the birth certificate. You need all this different information, right? But with these people, they're saying, nope, not a citizen, not providing any kind of a proof that I would need, you know, to be a voter. And yet everybody's pushing back on this. So this appeals court judge, and this, like I say, this went back and forth. It was Friday, then yesterday, and the appeals court judges are still backing this, saying it's too close. Their excuse is, well, it's right before an election, so we don't want to reverse anything like this. That's their excuse. It's crazy. So the Virginia Attorney General, Jason Mayeres, said he's filing this appeal with the Supreme Court immediately. So we got that going on. We also will continue. Greg Stocker, I don't know if he's going to stay here. We were teasing him this morning, Dan, that he had to do a marathon and just stay with us.
Yeah, for real.
All day. We're still on YouTube Live, and you can call 855-839-1210.
Thanks for making my life easy this morning, Greg. Right?
And so we, and to my friends at the Palloween Best Ever, huge thank you for all of you. Usually we have 800 to 1,000 people come out. Thank you so much. As your donations are the wind beneath our wings at the Police Athletic League. And yes, I'm a board member there, but my son, Michael, also has volunteered. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Great organization. And we love Pat Malloy. We love, Peggy. We love all of our friends at PAL and all the kids. And of course, Bob Salerno, everybody. So great, great event. So much fun. I did not dress up. I had so many events. I was running around.
Oh, come on.
But
you did dress up. You dressed up as Dawn Stanley from 1210 WPHD.
In my hot pink, because it's still Breast Cancer Awareness Month. But no, I think who won first prize? It was one couple I got a kick out of. They wore, so it was a husband and wife. He was the dog, like a Dalmatian.
Uh-huh.
And he actually, so he crawled, you know, it was pretty cute. And then his wife was Cruella. That was cute.
I like that.
It was like a Tim Walz and his wife combo, but it was cute.
Seems like there's some kind of, you know, this underlying commentary going on there with that costume.
It was cute. It was a great event, and we don't do that enough in our society, but a fun, fun Halloween party for PAL. You can always still contribute. And happy birthday to my sister, Christine. By the way, just realized that my nephew, Riley Stensland, is good buddies with Scott Pressler. It's such a small world. And my nephew lives in Illinois, working for Republicans there. So I can't wait to tell Scott that. And Dan, did you have a good weekend?
I did. It was a really good weekend. We celebrated the father-in-law's birthday on Saturday, went out to Estelle Manor Park out in, I guess it's Atlanta County, all the way near the shore.
Fabulous.
And then went down to Margate, right to a restaurant outside of Lucy the Elephant, and had a fantastic dinner out there.
Oh, that sounds good.
How was your weekend?
It's a beautiful weekend. It was a lovely weekend. We're looking at colleges. We got football. We got everything. Jimmy Kelly, did you have a good weekend? I miss Jimmy Kelly. Jimmy Kelly lately is working so hard that we don't hear his voice.
Here he is.
But we love you, Jimmy Kelly. Yeah, I will tell you this.
He's moving over to this microphone, yeah.
It's Monday morning. We got to do the recap and say hello. Good morning.
Jim, where'd you DJ this weekend? I know you did.
I didn't DJ anywhere this weekend.
Really?
No, no. It was just kind of a quiet weekend.
Laid back?
Yeah, kind of laid back. Went out and did some shopping a little bit. I had to go get a new mattress. So
Ooh.
A new mattress.
Wow, Jim.
This is okay. You wore out your. That's a happy
You're
marriage.
You're going to the same place I am,
mattress. And the mattress, the old one, was only a year old. He's turning red. I'm sorry. And his mother listens.
And,
you know,
and you can really see it in my face too. Because you know, this is like the one time I get a lot of color in my face.
Hey now. Red. So Jim, let's get into this mattress buy.
I mean,
you know?
Bill Clinton envies you.
So here's the thing. Now, I hope that when you went to go get your mattress, you bought a mattress. Me and Hillary, we bought a lot of mattresses there over the years. We just love it over there. But you probably just went over to Raymore and Flanagan or somewhere like that. And I, not that you don't want to give a shout out to Raymore and Flanagan, but
any endorsement from Merrill Reese? He gets out of the shower. Oh wait, maybe that's Kevin Hart. Or is that Merrill Reese that uses the shower?
Well, here's the thing right now, and they were talking about Merrill Reese today on Kale and Company. Nick Kale was trying to imitate yours truly, Merrill Reese, but there's only one guy in Philadelphia. Well, there's only one guy at WPHT who does a Merrill Reese impression, and that happens to be Jim Kelly.
Oh, there you go. Look at that endorsement from Merrill.
I love it. Love you guys.
Well, he's got the Mummers music in all places. He's like right on top
this
of stuff.
This is awesome.
He's got the football music going.
Have a great weekend. Go mattress shopping with Jim Kelly.
I know. And we had so much fun on Friday with Friday's show. It was so nice to see Sean Farish in person and all of you that came out. You know, what a wonderful. And you reminded me of it because a lot of our Mummers were there. And
oh, really?
Like giving
were they
behind
actually
the scenes.
Like playing songs?
They were not dressed as Mummers, so they were undercover.
We need
Mummers
to do a 12th NWPHD Mummers event.
I know. It'd be so much fun.
Right?
Well, you could come to any Mummers event. I might be DJing on New Year's Day.
I'm sure 90% listen to 12th NWPHD.
Yeah. I'm busy that day.
Somebody.
I wonder where you are, Don.
Yeah, I think you and I think his name is Larry. You're covered up for aid.
So we have.
Are you guys doing that again? I'm sorry to say.
Yes.
Is that like breaking news? Or is that
No.
Okay.
Oh, it's
you guys are fantastic. I love waking up and watching you guys. You're fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a highlight. You have so much fun. And it's just a true celebration of Philadelphia. So we want to get into it. The Trump rally, Madison Square Garden. I thought it was epic. I want to hear from you if you watched the whole thing, or at least, you know, with Elon introing Melania Trump and then Donald J. Trump. It was, to me, it was epic for so many reasons. And then the vice president here yesterday in the Philadelphia region making three stops, including a Christian church where she was, you know, preaching, and she was also heckled. So we have that going on. Another headline that we've talked about. Want to get your take on all of these things. The comedian's remarks about Puerto Rico during the Trump rally sparking backlash, and Puerto Rican superstar Bad Bunny signaling his support for Vice President Harris. So, unfortunately, it's what dominates the headlines today.
Did not have that on my bingo card, Dawn.
What do you mean, your bingo card?
Bad Bunny offering an endorsement, yes.
Yeah, I don't think that matters as much. It's just, to me, it's more about the fact that they had this epic rally, and the campaign needed to lock that down. They had so many people there that were headlining, they didn't. Oh, is this Bad Bunny?
I hope it's clean, though. It's a different language, though. Here's a clean version radio edit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, make sure it's clean.
Yeah, sure. Sure, some Bad Bunny going.
Bad Bunny.
I just don't know if that endorsement really moves much of a needle, does it?
No.
Apparently,
that's not the point. My point, and this is, I want to be clear, my point, though, It's not so much about the endorsement. It's the fact that they gave fodder to the other side to headline with something else, because otherwise they were forced to show the rally with all those people. I mean, it was unbelievable.
But at the same time, I mean, who's watching the rally, watching the joke and having their vote changed? I think you underline a great point that the narrative that's come out of that is a joke about a comedian's Puerto Rican comment and not a, you know, anything deep regarding Trump or anything like that. They can't say anything bad about the Trump rally, so they have to focus on this comedian. I think that might be a net benefit, to be quite honest.
Yeah. I hope. I mean, how much do you think it resonates? 855-839-1210, the number to call. Of course, we have, it's 8 days. Can you believe this? It's 8 days until Election Day. The news cycle is so incredible that it seems like our wonderful event on Friday morning is, it almost feels like it was a week ago. It you know, because we're living and breathing all that's happening every day, 24/7. And by the way, yesterday, that great women's event and women supporting other women and girls. And that was in South Philadelphia. Riley Gaines was here. Tulsi Gabbard was here. Many other ladies in the House speaking. But just 8 days until Election Day. And former President Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen, they'll join forces this evening for this concert in Philadelphia. Will Kamala Harris be here this evening? She will not be here.
No?
She will not be here.
What's the point, then?
Do you think that's a misstep?
There's a bigger question. Will Dawn Stensland be there this evening?
I will not.
Oh. That's a bigger loss, to be quite honest.
I will not. No, they don't care. Believe me. They could care less. But why not? Why wouldn't she show up? Do you know what I mean? I don't know. It just seems, and if you listen to the audio, and I know we played it earlier, we'll get into it, but do you think that the Harris campaign looks desperate? What do you think is going on here? Or... are Republicans just kind of basking in the glow of all of these events where it's a feel-good situation, but that the numbers tell a different story because, of course, Democrats outnumber Republicans? So let's take your calls on that. 855-839-1210. Jim in Haddonfield, you say what? Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Dawn. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Here's my question, Dawn. Do you think the Trump campaign managers, Susie Wild and the whole bunch, that they almost committed malpractice last night by not at least screening what that comedian said earlier at the rally last night? Because, you know what, there are 400,000 Puerto Ricans that vote in Pennsylvania, and it almost seems like we give them a license to wake up and vote for Harris. And I can't believe that they did not at least go over what he was going to say, because I'm sure they would have blocked it.
Yeah, I agree. They should have blocked it. They should have. So did they not screen it? Did he? I doubt that he would have thrown that in after they reviewed it. So what was that? Was it an ad lib? So I don't have the answer for you. But to me, I mean, even many at the rally and different groups representing, you know, Puerto Ricans for, let's say, Pennsylvania or whatever, they've come out and said, we weren't offended. And we know who this guy is, whatever. I'm just saying, if you're part of a campaign and you're 9 days before a major election, I'm just saying it's a campaign misstep. That's just it. And that's my take on that one.
I'll ask you and I'll ask Jim, though. I don't know. Like, I think Puerto Rican people are smart enough to see that this was a comedian making a joke.
Yeah.
I don't know if this really affects their vote that drastically, that this person. And again, Jim, I don't want to diminish your point that I think it was pretty stupid overall to have this comedian come out, and Dawn 100% right. But I just don't know if this guy coming out, making this joke about the Puerto Rican island and then Bad Bunny's response, if that's going to move the needle and get people out, Puerto Rican people out to vote. Do you think it does move the needle that much, Dawn?
It's if you're on a campaign, and again, so yes, so just think about, yeah, that's the weekend. I mean, here we are 8 days out. What are we talking about? You have to talk about it. All the campaigns across the country, you're now it's like defense, offense.
Yeah.
So now they have to, instead of moving the needle forward and talking about positive things, they have to go back and clean that up. All the campaigns issued statements immediately. And so, because when I saw it, I was like, and the other piece of this I'm going to point out to you, so please let me know if you hear this. Because this morning, as I was watching at least one local station, what bothered me was that they were playing the clip of the comedian. I watched it live, and I remember thinking, this guy's flat. He's not getting huge applause. This crowd is like, meh, they didn't really, they're like, you know. But then if you hear some of the clips, I think what went viral sounded like this huge applause for that joke. And I was like, I don't remember that. Then Greg Stocker played it back. And of course, he takes it from the original source because he doesn't get all of his news or clips from Twitter. And lo and behold, it was as I remembered it, where the joke didn't, it kind of fell kind of flat. It was kind of a mid response. Let's hear.
I welcome migrants to the United States of America with open arms. And by open arms, I mean like this.
It's not a huge,
it's wild,
thunderous.
These Latinos, yeah, they love making babies too. Just know that. They do. They do. There's no pulling out.
And, a family friendly rally.
Republicans
like
in the party with the.
Yeah.
I
mean, I can keep it going. But
you can hear the crowds like, It's not, he's not getting applause. He's not, he even makes mention of that. So, you know, he wasn't a hit with this crowd. But I told you earlier this morning on Kale & Company, I do watch him because he's associated with Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan does some of his live shows. And some of my friends as moms with their teen boys, they went to the show. And you put in for a lottery that you get chosen to go up and do a few minutes of, you know, a few minutes of stand up. So I was like, yeah, let's all go. And you know, I'm going to get called. And then you boys have to stand up with me as I embarrass you. Like, oh God. But so I think he's funny in the context of his shows. But yeah, they should have done a better job of just screening this. By the way, if you didn't hear it, it was, it aired on Friday, my interview with, because Jim mentioned Congresswoman Susan Wild, who's the incumbent, and she's getting a run for her money against State Representative Ryan McKenzie, who I interviewed on Friday. So you can go back and listen to that if you want to hear what he's all about, and maybe it'll make sense to you. This is Pennsylvania's 7th Congressional District, typically Republican-leaning district, consisting of Lehigh, Northampton, and Carbon counties. It is right now, according to the Cook Political Report, which is, as you know, is the Bible for elections, it's considered a toss-up. And so for, again, all of these local races, and that one, could it potentially help tip the House? It's not the one, but those races are so close to call that everybody across America who's a Republican, you know, at this guy, who didn't need to be at the rally, they're going, oh, come on, man. We just don't need any of this. Like, no goof-ups. Everything's got to be buttoned up. Everything's got to be perfect 8 days out. And I'm sure both sides are saying that, quite frankly. All right. The Trump campaign, no matter what the polls say after this weekend, I would say even CNN, Casey Hunt, I saw her this morning on CNN talking about it. Definitely the one with the momentum right now feels like the Trump campaign. That does not necessarily mean a win. Nothing can be taken for granted in this very close election. 855-839-1210. So good to be here with you this Monday morning, and so much to talk about and so much developing today. You're not going to miss a thing right here on The Dawn Show.
Declining quality of life coupled with economic instability makes it difficult for business to thrive. Crime is on the rise, while public safety diminishes, creating an environment where families with young children choose to relocate. And this story repeats itself from coast to coast across our nation. This is America.
This is America. It was a homecoming. And Melania Trump looking fabulous, as she always. I thought it was a great moment. Elon Musk is just so quirky and authentic, and I love him. And he was just taking it in. Then he intros the former first lady, and you see it. Here's this guy. He's the richest guy in the world, which you never think of that ever, because he is this genius. I think he's probably also the smartest guy in the world, as well as the richest guy. But you see him, he's like, sort of bowing and nodding. He's like this humble guy, and he's so honored to be there. It was a hoot. And then she, of course, with Trump.
It is my honor to introduce the First Lady, Melania Trump.
And he just, like, he bows his head, kind of. It was just sweet. But he's just so authentic. Just your take if you were there or if you watched. 855-839-1210. Mark in Lewes in Delaware. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Don. I just wanted to say real quick that I think that the media would have grabbed anything negative that they could get their hands on to kind of play down the rally, because my wife and I were watching it yesterday evening, and I said to my wife, I wonder what they're going to find to pull away from the fact that Madison Square mm-hmm. Garden is filled to capacity and there's people waiting outside.
Yeah. You make a great point that they were looking for anything, but why give them something? That's my only point. And it's a small point that I'm making, because I do think overall, and I think you're thinking this, that in truth, this was epic. It was a huge crowd.
Exactly that.
Yeah. And I love.
Yeah, it was just, I'm sorry. It was just, I think you could have had two people protesting for abortion out front, and they would have focused more on that than the 30,000 plus inside. Yeah.
I hope, I love when you call and say these things, because I hope you're completely right, but every vote matters. And so it was just, and this is not a criticism of Trump or even the comedian who made the joke, because that's what he does. It's with the campaign moving forward. This is my little message. People, get it. Just make sure everything's buttoned up. You don't want just anything they can talk about. You don't want to spoon feed them. But to your point, I will say they probably had very grumpy faces, because they knew this was epic. And you couldn't ignore, I mean, Fox News was out there all morning interviewing people. You had people there from the night before spending the night. And even though the people did not get in, they stayed during the rally. That was amazing,
exactly.
Too. And so they kept showing the crowds outside. It was like, oh, my goodness, this was historic. And by the way, and I'm thankful for this, that MSNBC is getting fierce backlash for using, and this was a horrible thing to do, they used those Nazi rally clips during its coverage of the rally that was a historic campaign rally at Madison Square Garden. Shame on them. And it was, they included footage from the 1939 Nazi rally at the New York City Arena, which wasn't even Madison Square Garden. Do you know what I'm saying? It was horrifying that they did that. And in my opinion, that's an FCC violation. That was misleading the public, and that was horrifying.
Real quick, before I know you have to cut me off, just I want to say it's amazing to me how much the Democratic side is twisting and turning to find any link to try and make Trump look fascist.
Yeah, and we talked about the Holocaust survivors who've come out for Trump, and the one gentleman calling Trump a mensch. It just doesn't work. It backfires. Thank you so much for your thoughts, and I hope you're 100% right. You know me. I'm a warrior. And a warrior, joyful warrior. So we want to take a departure from the day's news and really escape with a young actor who I'm now obsessed with. And this is Luke David Bloom. And this is incredible. I guess it's a show that lives up to its name. It's called Lost on a Mountain in Maine. It tells you exactly what it's about.
There's no
mystery here. What? It's not a mystery mountain.
it's lost on a mountain in Maine.
This is based on a true story of a boy. And you know, I'm a mom of boys. If when my boys were 12, they were lost for more than a week on a mountain, I would be losing my mind. But welcome in to Luke David Bloom, who is the star. Hey, Luke.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing great. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you.
So this looks awesome. I love it that it's based on a true story. And maybe people don't remember the actual true story when it was in the headlines. You take us back as a 12-year-old kid. I can't believe you're a teenager and you're so young, but especially as being so young, to have the presence and the talent and the star power to carry through on this. Tell me how it all came about for you, Luke.
First of all, thank you so much. That was very nice. To actually answer the question, all this happened just because my dad was an actor when he was a kid, and I got lucky to be like brought up around acting. And then eventually I started asking my dad to be an actor, and I was like, I really, really want to be an actor. And he thought, sure, I guess if it'll help him learn how to read, maybe he'll learn how to read if he reads the audition. Yeah, I was like 8 at the time, and I could not read. I was horrible at reading. It was bad, but I'm better now, a little bit.
A little bit. You're very humble. So did you, I'm assuming you actually read the book, because this is based on the book by the same name, based on the true story, 12-year-old boy separated from his family by a fast-moving storm. And we think about, I mean, this is timely in the sense that right in our nation, we have heard about all the children separated from their family members just with the hurricanes fast moving through the southern states, North Carolina, for example. But in this one, you know, his family not knowing if he was still alive after 9 days and what he's going through in the backwoods of Maine. So how do you prepare for a role like this?
Well, a lot of it was preparation to get into the character, being that he was, you know, a real person. I wanted to learn as much as I could about him. So I read the book, as you mentioned. It's a true story that was turned into a book. So I read the book. I watched a lot of interviews of him. And it was really interesting to see him. I watched like a couple when he was like a kid. Mm-hmm. And then he continued to do interviews as he got older. And also the script helped a lot. It was an amazing script. It was really good to get to know the character. Ryan, the producer, mm-hmm. Or one of the producers, he knew Don Fendler for many, many years. He was telling me about how he was. So that was all to get into the person. In terms of other preparation, I was running a lot to get skinny for this. I was supposed to be lost for 9 days, so I gotta be skinny.
Yeah, because you know, a kid not eating for 9 days, eating, you know, surviving with that. I should point out that this was based in the summer of 1939. So going back to that period, was that a piece of this? Did you look into the time period and maybe relationships with how children were viewed, spoken to, maybe father-son relationships? Was that something that you wanted to focus on as well?
I mean, I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because that's such a big part of the movie, is Don's relationship with his father. I actually think, despite, you know, it being about him being lost, I think that that's actually the main focus of the story, is on Don and his father, which is actually really interesting, because that whole thing comes entirely from interviews and Ryan, the producer, as I mentioned earlier, talking to the real Don Fendler. None of that stuff was mentioned in the book, which is super, it's just like super interesting. I'm excited that it gets to like tell this whole other half of the story that's not known to people. The preparation, not preparation, me like learning about the time period was very important for that relationship, because people didn't really talk to each other much about their feelings in that time period, especially father-son relationship. Mm-hmm. And after Don was lost, they became so much closer, because they realized like this could end at like any moment.
Yeah,
you never know what's going to happen. So, you know, they grew closer, started talking to each other more. And that happened in real life, too. It's amazing.
Yeah, I love, you know, the idea of the father-son relationship. And right now, you know, in the news, although we're escaping from the news, which I report on every day, right, which is oftentimes in the headlines, is negative. In this one, though, yeah. I will say that I think it resonates with people because there's so much in the news about young men, about boys and relationships and all of that. And in this one, you know, that's why I saw some of the reviewers when they talked about being family friendly, and they were recommending that, hey, if you've got, especially if you've got kids like middle school, like maybe 11, 12 years old through 18, this is something you want to, it's such an inspiring story of survival. But also maybe when you think about the relationships with parents, because, you know, the comedians always say that everything that messes you up in life goes back to your childhood and your relationship with either your dad or your mom. And so this one maybe and maybe this one will spark those conversations between fathers and sons or daughters and mothers. Do you think that? I mean, do you, what is your hope that people get out of this?
Yeah, I definitely think it will. I really hope it will. And I know that it will, just because it has done that for the last however long the book's been out in Maine. Don Sandler went around to, like, schools. He went to middle schools, high schools, and spoke to kids about it. And he was so inspiring to them. I think that this, in, like, a world now that's super dominated by, you know, like, media, I think that there being a movie about it will have the same effect as Don Fenler did when he was alive. And I hope that it just, like, it really brings that same energy back.
Hey, you're a young guy, Luke, and I got a question for you. Producer Dan here, Dawn's producer, and I look at your career. You were the son on The Watcher, playing Naomi Watts and Bobby Cannavale's son for Ryan Murphy. I mean, that's a big name there. You had King of Staten Island with Pete Davidson and creator Judd Apatow, and you had a great audition there. And that now, Lost on a Mountain in Maine, you produced by Sylvester Stallone. So you've been around your career now, some huge names. I'm curious, have any of those big names, Sylvester being a producer here and Stallone having such a, you know, tie to Phil Philadelphia, or Judd Apatow, such a big name in Hollywood, have you kind of been taken under the wing of any of these big names that you starred alongside or worked under?
I think, well, everybody that I've, like, ever done any project with has taught me a lot. I think out of everybody, the person that taught me, like, the most was, the person that helped me the most, other than my dad, of course, who is more important to me than any of those celebrities combined. I think it was Bobby Cannavale, who played my dad in The Watcher. He taught me a lot. We were filming that for like 6 months. So I was there with him the whole time, and we talked to him between scenes. And he's a very nice guy. He's great. And one of the things that he taught me was that it's always important to make decisions on camera, because it just looks amazing and it makes you just so into it. And my dad always brings that up when we're doing auditions. So, yeah, he helped a lot.
If anyone hasn't seen it, go watch The Watcher. I highly suggest it. Really good series there, Luke. And also, I do suggest everyone go check out Lost on a Mountain in Maine. Sorry, Dawn, back to you.
Definitely. No, I think it's wonderful. It's great to talk to you, and just the best to you. I'm just blown away by the level of your presence. And, you know, the thing with every parent thinks their kid is the most talented and all of that. But I love that it goes back to your dad and the fact that your parents believe in you so much and at such a young age. I think that most, like, 12-year-olds or eight, you start out when you were eight. Most 8-year-olds do not get told by their parent, hey, you should go for this. If this is your dream, go for it. And that's just such a beautiful message, Luke. I love it.
Yeah, I have my parents to thank for all of this. They're really supportive, and that's the most important thing, especially when I'm gone for like a month and a half, sometimes like even in a whole different country.
Yeah.
It causes a lot. It's a lot of time. It's a lot of effort. It's really hard to deal with.
What grade were you in?
For me and...
Sorry.
Sorry?
So what grade were you in if you were 12 at the time, and how did that affect your education?
We filmed this over the summer, which was great for the movie because they didn't have to hire a tutor. And it's great for me because I didn't have to do school. So it didn't affect my education at all, which is really lucky. I filmed two movies over that summer. And they're some of my favorite things to film. I feel like partially because I didn't have to do 3 hours of school every day.
Well said. Well, Luke David Bloom, thank you so much for joining me today. Just really enjoyed talking to you, and I can't wait to see where you're going to go next. Thank you, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So it's, as Dan said, a Sylvester Stallone-produced feature, Lost on a Mountain in Maine. It's slated, by the way, for a release, November release by Blue Fox Entertainment. Pretty cool. I mean, this is something, it's, I guess it begins its theatrical run starting November 1st, which is obviously this Friday. This is cool, Dan. Thanks for setting this up. I mean, this is something I'll definitely watch with my sons.
Yeah, really talented kid and really cool relationships that he has, and good stuff there.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have any, it's Balboa Productions, right? Is that Sly? Do you watch the streaming show with him?
I watched a little bit of it, Dawn. I got to say, I'm not a huge fan. Tulsa King, is that what we're talking
about? Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't like it? I like it. I know it's kind of hokey. But it's like, I like it. I love Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, I don't know, I just like it.
It's very hokey, and that's what it is. It's Sylvester Stallone playing Sylvester Stallone playing a mob boss.
I know. But it's kind of, I don't know what it is. It's like, I just get a kick out of it.
Did you see The Watcher by chance?
Yes.
I loved that show, yeah. And also another show that kid was in, The Sinner. Really good stuff as well.
Yes.
Yeah. He played a son in one of the seasons.
Yeah. He's not, I would have, if I had had more time with him, he is not like your typical child actor who's on a sitcom or whatever.
No.
So he started out as a little kid, as a very serious actor.
Well, that's the thing, is I want to know who's made, it must be his dad making these decisions, because if you look at his filmography, it's all like, it's really good quality stuff.
Yeah. It's not like dopey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we got that going
on. Good start to a career he's got going.
Yeah. Amen to that. And besides that, he is really talented. So his parents weren't wrong on that one. Oh my goodness. I want you to escape with me to the Italian Riviera gastronomical event that only Conservative Tours can deliver. Join me for 11 luxurious days with the professionals from my friends at Conservative Tours, the best tour operator, hands down, in all of Italy. Trust me. A-plus rating with the BBB, with the Better Business Bureau. What am I talking about? So this is totally different than the trip to southern Italy. If you join me on the Conservative Tours trip that we took last year in Italy, totally different here. We're talking Portofino Rapallo, Santa Margherita Ligure, Tuscany, and the brilliant Cinque Terre, 5378. And yes, 5378 fully includes your airfare, dining events at the wineries in Tuscany, and even an authentic farm visit to see Parmesan cheese being crafted by hand. Call toll free 888-733-9494. You can always go to conservativetours.com. If you scroll through, you'll see my name, my picture, and then you'll see the full itinerary and all the pictures of hidden Italian villages you've never seen before, like Giacomo Puccini, San Gimignano, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, Florence, and Milan. And then we will conclude on the Lakes region with Bellagio, Orta, and Isola Bella. Join me next spring in Italy. I'll see you in Cinque Terre. ConservativeTours.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you. You're not going to be surprised by this, but District Attorney Larry Krasner, Philadelphia, has filed suit to try to stop Elon Musk's $1 million daily giveaway to voters in battleground states, including, of course, here in Pennsylvania. Krasner calling it an illegal lottery that Krasner claims skirts state requirements and violates consumer protection laws.
So he will not be signing the petition.
So, I guess not.
That's not because, like, the first and second amendment.
Yeah, let's just remember what you do when you go to the site And it says, do you support the First Amendment? Do you support the Second Amendment? And please sign the petition. Then you electronically sign it. So this suit has been filed in Common Pleas Court in Philadelphia. The first legal action, because remember, Elon received a letter from the Department of Justice. So the feds started this. And so it's the first legal challenge that's, you know, looking into this. And the Philadelphia Inquirer calls it a controversial sweepstakes launched earlier this month by Musk's America PAC. And it comes a week after the U.S. Justice Department.
Giving away $1 million. It's so controversial.
It's only controversial because it is a Republican who used to be a Democrat. That's what makes it. If he were still a Democrat supporting Obama, like if he had done this when he loved Obama and he was a Democrat, because remember, he was their darling, and he stood in line to meet Obama and he liked Obama. Right. And he's a guy who talks about climate change, believes in, environmental causes and cares about that deeply. And by the way, he's the richest guy in the world. And I think one of, if not the most brilliant guy in the world. He's an inventor. He's a futurist.
They make a daytime television show out of it if Elon was on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
Be like a competitor to The Price is Right.
Absolutely.
Elon gives away $1 million.
But obviously they're a little grumpy, because after the Justice Department warned Elon Musk, the tech billionaire who just appeared yesterday, and that's why, again, this is all about them being grumpy that they have this incredible Madison Square Garden event over the weekend. So they want to start Monday morning. They just want to basically pee in your Wheaties. Excuse my, crass analogy, but that's what it is.
So you're telling me that Larry Krasner, DA of Philadelphia, is going to use Philadelphian taxpayer money to take on a billionaire over a personal beef, essentially?
Well, he claims that it's genuinely. See, and here's the other thing that I wonder. I would think that, because Josh Shapiro was asked about this, and Shapiro had said that he would imagine, we played it for you, that he would, that there were things about it that appeared that they could be breaking the law. But Shapiro had said that he was pointed out, I'm not the AG anymore. I'm not the attorney general. This would be something for the attorney general to look into.
I think there are real questions with how he is spending money in this race, how the dark money is flowing, not just into Pennsylvania, but apparently now into the pockets of Pennsylvanians. That is deeply concerning. Look, Musk obviously has a right to be able to express his views. He's made it very, very clear that he supports Donald Trump. I don't, obviously we have a difference of opinion. I don't deny him that right. But when you start flowing this kind of money into politics, I think it raises serious questions that folks may want to take a look at.
So you think it might not be legal, yes or no?
I think it's something that law enforcement could take a look at. I'm not the attorney general anymore of Pennsylvania. I'm the governor. But it does raise some serious questions.
And by the way, another reason they're all the Democrats are grumpy this Monday morning. Washington Post owner Jeff Bezos is reportedly now directing the newspaper to add more conservative opinion writers. this after they said they're not going to endorse any more, presidential candidates anymore, ever, ever, ever again. And so they're very grumpy. They're grumpy. And this is how they're, going to do. But Larry Krasner speaking out saying he must cease. You will stop. You will stop right now. So far, Musk is ignoring it. And so we'll see where this goes. We're following it. And will this be in yet another case that goes to the Supreme Court of the United States of America? Because I'm pretty sure Elon Musk can afford a good attorney or a few. So we'll have to see. If I could, I would just send Elon some delicious Whatacrock meals, because he's on the road. He's a true patriot. I know. If I knew where he was, I would definitely send. What would I send him, though? That's just it. Would it be? So I'm thinking of some of my favorite things. I think the Parmesan meatballs, which are my youngest son, David, begs. That's his ask.
Yeah.
Can you make those, Mom? Not that I would ever lie and say, oh, those are my grandmother's homemade.
Yeah, I made those from scratch.
But sure, I made, because they are made from scratch and they are homemade, they just like not by me. Ha, ha, ha. But What a Crock's Meals, they do. They make dinner super easy. I cannot tell you how many times this has bailed me out when I didn't have time to go to the grocery store. And then here's the thing. Even if you don't, because you get the box. I just got a box like about a week or so ago. So even if you forgot to put the meal in the crock pot, there's another option that you can just throw it in, because they put it in packaging. You could throw it into a pot of boiling water and it can be ready quickly. So you can either do the slow cooking option, or I should mention that if you need a bailout biggity big time, boom, whatacrockmeals.com. They have bailed, I can't even tell you how many times they bailed me out. So you just drop the meal into your slow cooker in the morning, go about your day, come home, and you walk in the door and it's like, oh, that smells so good. It smells like one of those candles that you buy that smells like a, you know, something simmering.
Yeah, that pulled buffalo chicken candle. Yeah,
like
the Swedish meatball candle that Yankee Candle has.
This is not the Gwyneth Paltrow candle, people. No chopping, no slicing. I'm going to get in trouble. You're going to get me in trouble, Dan. I'm going to go, it was Dan's fault. He did it, Mom.
No, to your point, though, some pumpkin bread pudding candles. It's great from there.
So good. So delicious. And What a Crock's Meals make an excellent gift. So let's say you have a son, a grandson, a daughter. They've just gone off to college and they miss home. How about a taste of home? You send them What a Crock. What about, you know, your goddaughter and her husband? They, you know, she just had her first baby or second baby or third baby, right? Great gift, because they're too far away for you to drop off, you know, a homemade meal. That one is perfect and they love it. So anybody who could use help in the kitchen, or maybe an easy meal, stress-free, it's just a wonderful, they love it. They're going to go like, oh my gosh, you're so thoughtful. And you did nothing except go to watercrockmeals.com. That's it. And that's why I love it. It's so easy. And they do make it easy for you. So watercrockmeals.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.